You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
What you talking about, huh? What you talking about, huh? What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about,
huh? Normally, James, we do a cold open, but this is kind of a big deal, actually. This is a year since you did your first podcast.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts? It's been a year. You've done, obviously, this is our show, but you've done some guest spots on other shows as well.
Yes. It's a relaxed chat, you know. That's
what I designed it to be, of course. I didn't want it to be, you know, structured as like, so like read it off line by line sort of thing, because because you know the whole point about me doing this show in the first place was like I can talk stats for the best of them. I mean, you do better than I can, but you because obviously we grew up together, the banter we've had since we were kids, I thought this would be a great podcast, but you can't script it.
No, I mean,
yeah, we've got bullet points and things to like bring things up. But for example, for Christmas last episode, you brought up what sports could be improved with alcohol, and it was brilliant. It was just brilliant. I wish I hadn't already recorded Christmas crackers, because that would have been great for one.
Well, you could have done.
Yeah, I could. I had them already scripted up. I would have all edited and everything at points, so I couldn't. Unfortunately, but yeah, the last 12 months have been pretty hectic for us podcast wise. I mean, you've done this, obviously. Intel Gossip, you showed your knowledge, absolutely. And on Good Cop, Bad Cop with a K, you showed that you know way more than I do about Arsenal players.
Well, I am an Arsenal fan, so exactly. You know, that does. If I didn't, it would be a bit worrying.
It did.
What happened to that podcast? Do you just like give it up in the end, or
we didn't not give it up, but me and Graham enjoyed doing it. It was more a case of it probably wasn't the best target audience for it. So right. we have a Twitter and everything. We put things up on the Twitter every now and again, and we will be doing like specials every now and again, sort of thing.
Right.
But that's why I included that one in the Christmas crackers, number 13, I believe it is, where you proved me wrong on it. And it's Graham's laugh, where you say, Mr. Ozil, what do you think about that? And I say, no. And you say, well, why not, sort of thing. And before you say the word not, Graham's already lost it. Uh-huh. And I'm like, yeah, that's that right there just shows... And that is what we are like. That's not. We didn't put it on for the show, guys. That was me and James, as we normally are. It's Graham didn't know we were like that. He had a pretty good guess.
He's never met me before. That was our first and only conversation together, to be fair, other than through Twitter.
Yeah. Thanks for that, by the way. The amount of times you've cost me votes, James. And of course, you did get a mention on Good Cop, Bad Cop this week just gone. So,
do I?
You I do. Have... You will. You. Graham says he's going to spare your blushes.
Oh.
So, because I didn't get a chance to talk about it on there, I'm going to mention it here instead, and you can get James' live reaction to it. He was asking for wrestling stories from when I used to wrestle as a kid.
Okay.
And I said, well, you can have my brother, my mates, or my mum, or our mother. Now, mum, it was a case of she was told us not to wrestle, and then one day I caught her and Colin bending each other's fingers back. So I'm like, you tell me not to wrestle, and you're doing it yourselves.
Is that wrestling?
Pete Dunne used to do that finisher, yeah.
Wow, okay.
And the story about me and friends is on Good Cop, Bad Cop, go to that one there. But the one about James is one we haven't told on the show before, but James probably doesn't know much about it.
I I don't remember much about it at all, no.
Mainly because it was a very dry summer, and I think James tried to spear me in the back garden. I think that's how it started. I'm not sure. Anyway, I was able to put him in a front face lock and deliver a Raven effect, which, for people who don't know, is a face-first DDT. James's head made contact with the ground, and I was worried for a while.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
I was worried for a while, because, like, he's not moving.
Yeah, I was out, weren't I? I don't think I was out for long, though.
Maybe 30 seconds, if that.
Yeah.
If that, thank God. Because I don't know if Mama actually knows about the about you actually being KO'd from it. But
I think she does, I'm not sure.
I don't want to ask. I don't want to remind her, because we're maybe 35, 33 years old, but she'll still ground us. And of course, there's a time that you walked into a post box. I wasn't even there for this. So do you want to tell the story, James?
Well, I was walking home from school with our sister. And it was at the top of our road. And I heard something behind me. So I turn around, next thing I know, I've gone temple first into the post box, and my sister's walking along. She looks around, where's he gone? And she sees me on the floor.
I'm laughing now because he's absolutely fine.
Yeah, we laugh now. God, I did have a bit of a bruise. I had a nice old lump on the side of my head, I tell you.
Yeah.
I think our mum compared it to the size of a golf ball, but I think that's exactly.
It wasn't an exaggeration, James. It was.
Was it really?
It was huge.
I didn't need to go to A&E. I was
fine. You were fine, yes. You were fine overall. But it was funny, yeah, looking back now.
That must have been a good 20 years ago.
Well, I went into sick form 20 years ago, so yeah. It was. Is there anything you remember happening to me, James, wrestling wise? Can you remember wrestling me at all?
The only real thing that vividly I remember was the DDT that you gave to me. Other than that, sometimes I've been very tempted to break your ankle, but I decided to give up.
On the subject of that, a couple of weeks ago, in fact, it was Boxing Day, when we were around at Mum's, you put me in the Tasmission. Now, I had no problem with the Tasmission part, but the problem is that I still have at the moment, a bad left foot. I've actually got very bad tendons from when I twisted my foot in town at the start of December. And I actually am still doing physio for it now. And unfortunately...
You're not blaming me for this, are you?
I'm not blaming you for that at all, no. But I'm just saying that when that started hurting, you told me, grow up, nothing wrong with you at all.
Well, I didn't realise that you'd had a fall or anything like that.
It was fine. I forgive you now. Okay, at the time, I was angry, and I said things I shouldn't have done. Most words, even though this is a non-PG podcast, I still won't say them on this show, just in case our nephews, nieces, or offspring, in your case, listen to the show at some point. But yeah.
So, out of nowhere, it was brilliant.
Yeah. As someone who...
You'd have been proud of it yourself, let's be honest.
I would have been proud of it, yes. I do a better transmission than you do, though, but that's not a competition.
This is Diesel from View from the Top Rope. And I'm going to tell you that you're doing the right thing. You're doing exactly what you should be doing right now. You're listening to What You Talking About, Willis, only on the Visionaries Wrestling Network.
James, what have you got for me?
So there was an interesting topic on Twitter the other day.
Right.
The other day, it was probably about a month or so ago.
Okay.
And I think there was a good conversation between me Mags, Tolly, and Bagshaw, to name but a few. Pot noodles.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, best in a sandwich, as we all know.
Mm. As
it's like. But what's your favourite flavour?
Okay.
So I don't believe you contributed to that conversation.
I did not, for two good reasons. One, the one thing I won't put in a sandwich.
What?
I won't put in a sandwich.
What's wrong with you?
No, for me, I don't particularly like pot noodle. I like one flavour. That's it.
All right, what about super noodles?
So I don't eat super noodles.
Strange, man.
Huh?
Okay, well, what flavour then?
Chicken and mushroom.
Chicken and mushroom.
Right. It's a classic.
Yeah. I don't mind chicken and mushroom.
James silently said boring, by the way. It's my personal preference. It's not something I go to, personally.
Okay. What about your another hot snack? Instant hot snack of your choice? Or do you not really?
Not really. Cup of soup sometimes, but...
Cup of soup.
I'm not... If I go for a hot snack, it'd be like a sausage roll or a pasty or something, you know? I don't tend to snack on hot food.
Okay. Whenever I'm working late, our canteen's closed. They've got a kettle and a microwave there and a coffee machine. So I just normally whip out the Bombay Bad Boy.
As long as you're happy with that, James, go for it. I never... Everyone's entitled to their own choices of pot noodle. Other brands are available, of course. James is shaking his head at this point.
Yeah, they're not, let's be honest. And it was only £1 this week, so I was happy with that.
Well, again, it's...
And that was the king pot noodle, you know, the big one.
I know the one, yeah. It's not something that I particularly would go for.
Okay.
That being said, when I have had them before, you always get the damn sachet of soy sauce in it.
Yeah.
Throw that away. If you're going to put something in it, put Marmite in it.
You're insane. This is the person who puts Marmite in his mash, remember?
I do.
It's disgusting.
Have you ever tried it?
Yes.
What, Marmite mash?
Yes.
When?
I think you made it when we was living together.
Well, probably.
I don't know. Did you?
Almost certainly.
Yeah, I must have tried I think I might have tried a little bit then. Nah.
See, it's the salt content. It's salt. You didn't put more salt in it.
I'm one of these people who sits on the fence with Marmite.
We've established this on episode 4, yeah.
Mm. But in mash, nah.
Okay. I've also been known to have ketchup now and again in it.
Ketchup in?
Pot noodle.
Pot noodle. Yeah, well, that's just like I didn't... Yeah, I can see that. Depends which one you put it in.
Chicken mushroom.
Chicken and mushroom. Yeah, but what's the sauce in the chicken and mushroom one? Is it soy sauce?
Soy sauce is in every damn one.
No, it's not.
It is.
You had the Bombay Bad Boy.
Clearly not, because you're about to correct me, aren't you?
Well, yeah, because it's a spicy tomato sauce that goes in it.
Fair enough. That's annoyed me, actually. I don't like... It's not any food that I don't like. I like things in a certain way, but that's just I outright don't like instant noodles.
Okay, fair enough.
Like my pasta to be pasta.
So you don't like the pasta and sauce sort of things or anything like that?
Not really, no. I've had it before when it's sort of like I look at it, I'm like, you ever seen Me Between Us?
No.
You've never seen In Between Us?
Never seen one episode.
You really should. You'd love it. You'd love it. It's...
What are they?
Jay says to Neil at some point, I'm not going around your house. Your house is odd. He's like, what's wrong with it? Just remind me of being poor. I'm like, whoa, that's harsh. But in my head, that was Jay saying that. as you said, pastry and sauce. I'm like, remind me of being poor. I don't know why. I don't know why. Maybe because I always see it in the reduce the clear section. I don't know. Maybe that might be quite harsh.
Yeah.
Apologies, by the way. I've got a bit of a cold in the background here, so.
You haven't been tested at all, have you?
That's one of the subjects on my list, actually. The coronavirus, James, is unfortunately exercising its hold on the eastern side of the planet from where we are. Can I get your thoughts on it? Are you scared about it?
Yeah, and it's quite an epidemic, isn't it?
Yes and no. I mean a lot of people have caught it. And unfortunately a lot of people have died from it. This is a fact at time of recording. Only Chinese have died from it.
Oh, okay.
I'm suggesting that maybe something in their diet isn't giving them the ability, strength, whatever, I don't know the medical terms, to fight it.
Immune system sort of thing?
Their immune system isn't maybe as strong as ours. I'm not sure. No. I'm no doctor, I don't claim to be, but I saw that the only people who have died have all been in China, apart from one person in the Philippines who was Chinese. So, at time of recording anyway.
Yeah.
And it said that there's been five Britons who've caught it in a chalet in France, and they've all tested positive for it, but they're doing well. And I'm like, it's an issue which, I'll be honest, I didn't want to talk about, but at the same time, I wanted to talk about it so I get out of the way. Because if this turns into something bad, then, you know, I'm not scared about it. But at the same time, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't wary.
Yeah. Well, every day that goes past, we're one day closer to finding an antidote or a vaccine for it, should I say.
Well, they've already developed vaccines for it. Problem is they take a long time to test in human trials and things.
Of course, but it always will do, won't it? So.
Yeah, that's something I learned about it. Literally, within 3 hours of releasing information from China, three different laboratories across the world had developed vaccines.
Yeah.
But they weren't tested. So obviously they can't be used.
Yeah, well, these things have got to take time, because if you're going to give out the vaccine, you have to make sure it's 100%.
You don't want to kill someone, do you? Or make it worse, or mutate the virus into something even worse.
Well, yeah. No, there is that as well. I've seen enough
virus stuff spread. Interestingly enough, you've probably seen the memes going around and everything about the logo for the new hospital they're building in China for it. The logo is basically the umbrella logo from Resident Evil, which obviously is the company which created the T-virus, which created the zombies and various other mutated creatures. And Corona is an anagram of Raccoon, which is Raccoon City, where it all started. It's probably totally innocent and probably totally
coincidental.
Thank you, James. But at the same time, you do look at it and you do think, even when this sort of thing happens, there are people out there who are creating memes for this stuff. It's fantastic. Well, I think it's time we lighten the mood a bit, James. Let's lighten the mood a little bit. What is that? Is that Bean the Bear?
Yes, Bean.
That is perfect timing, Teddy. Because one of the things I've got down here, I will discuss what is the best sitcom ever.
Do you know what? I had a similar thought the other day, and I didn't write it
I've got several to choose from.
I'm sure you have. I think I could probably write a top 10.
Can you do a top 3? We actually need to finish the podcast before next year.
Okay. Top 3 in any order?
In any order. I won't ask you to pick a top, to pick the order, because that's very harsh and they'll create arguments.
One of my favourites is The Office. Would you class that as
a situation comedy, so yes.
Yeah, okay.
UK or US, though?
I've never seen the US one.
So UK one, good. Then you went to stop for a start. US one, the UK one, you went to stop.
Mm.
The US one, known to their own houses.
I think the US one, it was different. It's different comedy. You remember it's made for the American market.
One was good, one was bad.
Yeah. I have to watch that to say that. I need to start watching that, actually, to be fair. I want to watch it.
So Office for you. Okay, while you're thinking of another one, I'll give you my one. Dad's Army.
Yeah. Give it that. You're a Dad's Army fanatic. Yeah.
For people in America who don't know what that is, it is a sitcom set during World War II on the south coast of England in a fictional town called Warrington-on-Sea, with what was known as the Home Guard, which was basically a bunch of retired former Army, Navy, etc. guarding
volunteers,
like a better term, guarding Britain from the German invasion force. And this actually ran for 9 series and 5 Christmas specials, and was fantastic. Spawned 2 feature films, both of which were terrible, but that's by the by.
I think they were all right.
First one was bad, second one was worse.
What was the second one?
It was not good. It didn't help with the fact of the format was not designed for the big screen.
No, it was just literally half hour and that was it. And
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of programs which have been gone to the big screen sometimes, which aren't necessarily.
Mrs. Brown's Boy is the prime example.
Mm.
The content they've got for TV is great. They did a film, it was rubbish.
I've never seen the film.
Film is not good.
No. Well, there you go then.
So yeah, Dad's Army is my pick. Seriously, guys, go and check it if you get a chance to. It's fantastic. James, what's your second pick?
Put me on the spot here.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to go with Only Fools.
Only Fools and Horses.
British iconic. Staple, a classic, iconic. I don't think there's enough superlatives in the world to describe it. Especially the Christmas specials.
Yes.
And I'm going to go one in particular.
Mm.
Batman and Robin.
Iconic moment, of course. There's also another iconic moment, of course, the infamous bar scene.
Mm-hmm.
Order a winner here, Trig.
Yeah.
Play it nice and cool, son. Nice and cool, you know what I mean? Fall through the bar.
Fantastic.
And then there's obviously the infamous chandelier.
Yep. There's the chandelier moment, which is just, now brace yourself, Rodney.
Wrong chandelier goes down, yeah.
You know what?
And then the moment where they finally win their money.
Mm.
And then next to their back, they've lost it all on the stock exchange.
Yeah. It's just fantastic all round, isn't it? You know? So many iconic moments. But you know, with the Batman and Robin,
yeah.
Remember when Nicholas Lyndhurst. Rodney, how did I not Rodney? You know when he punches his fist like Robin and
let's
goes,
go.
You gotta go. That was not in the script.
Really? I thought it was done that way.
And
perfect.
They decided to keep in there because it was just fantastic.
Perfectly done. It fit perfectly. Sometimes, yeah, that's how good Lyndhurst is. Interesting, in fact, James, did you know that he was originally meant to play Jonathan Creek?
Was he really? Oh, I could see that.
It was written for him, but because David Jason had gone through Frost, he didn't want to do it.
Okay.
He didn't want to do the same thing that David Jason was doing. Yeah. So he went to do something else. So he did Good Night, Sweetheart, which was it was a good show, to be fair, but...
That was a pretty good comedy in itself, to be fair.
It was. It wasn't in league with these bear moths we're talking about, because my next pick is Blackadder.
Oh, I do like Blackadder. So, so funny. So many stars as well. If you look back, you had, obviously, Rowan Atkinson.
Yeah.
You had Tony... forgetting his name now.
Sir Tony Robinson.
Tony Robinson, that's it.
Sir.
Hugh Laurie was in it, I believe. Stephen Fry.
Hugh Laurie was in several seasons of that, yes. He played George.
Yeah. And many others, which I could easily know by face, but can't remember their names.
Great cameos from all sorts of amazing people, yes. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, it's an absolutely fantastic show. Absolutely fantastic.
Weird thing is, the first series was so terrible that they revived the budget down for the second series, which is why, if you think about it, in Queenie's room, it's one chair, and she's sitting down, everybody else is standing up. It's not exactly palatial, is it?
No.
They made the cheapest comedy on record.
Yeah, but don't you think that's what makes it even funnier and better?
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, you haven't got the sets and everything like that. It's
And Rowan Atkinson is what makes that so great.
No, he's just a fantastic actor.
Bob. It's the way he says Bob. It's fantastic. But yeah, so many different things. I mean, there's videos on YouTube of like half an hour of him just throwing insults at various people. I'm like, remember that one. Now I want to watch the actual episode now to see the rest of that skit, that scene sort of thing. It's great. Right. Pick your third one, James, because I can hear you waxing lyrical about Blackadder, but I want to. So.
Oh dear, I don't know. I know what your third one's going to be.
You do?
It's probably going to be the same as mine.
Okay, what's yours?
I'm going to go with Fawlty Towers.
I could have gone to Fawlty Towers, but I didn't because I knew you were going to pick it.
Oh, I see. It's just, you know, 12 episodes of just pure fantastic comedy.
It is. You know, I mean,
everybody knows about Monty Python and stuff like that. You know, just John Cleese at his very best.
It is.
Connie Booth.
Yep.
Who wrote the show. It's just fantastic and so quotable. I mean, we're part of a Facebook group dedicated to the show. And it just every now and then you'll just get a classic scene or a still picture with some quoting lines, and you just have to laugh because it's just
and reply with your next line, obviously, because that's the next thing you do.
But I just find it absolute genius comedy, and I think, you know, people say no, only 12 episodes, but I was right to stop then, because any more and it just wouldn't be the same.
Well, it might have been 5 and 6, but that it maybe.
Yeah, but that's the same with The Office. I only ever made 12 episodes.
Mm. You need to know where to stop, definitely.
Yeah. Stop on a high, because any more you might ruin it or something. I know we go back to The Office here, but The US Office ran for about, got 8, 9, maybe 10 seasons or something like that?
I think 9, yes.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to find your moment and then just say, like, that's it.
Yeah. I mean, I was... 40 Towers has that... You can go back and watch it and you're like... It'll make you smile so much, and sometimes it won't laugh out loud, but you're just like a mild amused smirk sort of thing. It's like, you naughty moose. Out of nowhere, they just laugh at that one. That one's quite funny, but here's something I never told anyone before. We started watching this when we were really young, obviously.
Yes.
We didn't really know half the jokes until we got older, obviously. But one of them was, wasn't a joke, but Mrs. Richards, obviously, the woman who is deaf, obviously, Land in the Sky, yeah, that one. Yeah. She, I thought that was Margaret Thatcher.
Really?
I didn't know differently. I was like 8, maybe 9. I didn't know different.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair. Mm.
And it was the same sort of time, in fact, let's be fair. And when you think a handbag, it's quite similar.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, no, it's not. It's just like hilarious.
Great.
Because I knew you were going to go there with Fawlty Towers, another great one, an iconic one, because of how controversial a time it was. The Vicar of Dibley.
Ah, classic. How is it controversial?
Female vicar. They'd only just become legal.
Ah, okay. Well, I thought the casting was fantastic.
Superb.
Every single character, you know, had their own trait, and it was all played so perfectly by various people. You know, we could wax lyrical about every single character, let's be honest.
We'll talk about a couple quickly. We've got obviously Geraldine Granger, who is obviously the female vicar who arrives when the old vicar, who is like 100 and something, dies in his service, and no one notices, which is the opening gambit. And then she walks into her being introduced, and she's like, "Oh, I hate that. Got any whiskey?" Bang, straight away, endears herself to the crowd. And then, of course, you've got the perfect fall for her, which is Alice Tinker, who is played by such an amazing actress. Lost way before her time, unfortunately.
Yes, shame, yeah.
Yeah, Emma, I forgot her last name. Chambers? Emma Chambers. That sucks, I forgot her name. Lost before her time. Massive loss. Dawn French, who plays Geraldine, she won't do another Vicar Dibley special without her, and I'm like, no. That's right, it wouldn't be.
And again, because they finished it off the way they did, you can't go forward from that, even if everyone was still alive.
They've done specials for charity and stuff, but they were like 5 minute standalone thing. That's fine, yeah, I'm fine with that. But of course, did he look at some of the other characters in there? You've obviously got Jim.
Yeah, no parking is allowed in the upper field.
No. Refreshments will be available in the refreshment tent. Does that mean parking is allowed in the upper field or parking isn't allowed in the upper field? Need to repeat that again.
It's just fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
And you've got Owen, who is played by the late Roger Lloyd Pack, of course, who, of course, is famous for playing, obviously, Owen, but also he was...
Trigger in 90,000 Horses.
He was. He also had a minor role in most of the Poirot on ITV.
Did he really?
He did. Found out this afternoon. Yeah, I didn't even research that. I just happened to find it. He also had a little bit in Doctor Who for a bit as well, so that was awesome. Yeah. He literally was a cornerstone of British acting, and the world's a sadder place for when he passed away. In fact, I believe it was 7 years ago, 2 days ago.
Really?
Yeah, wow. It was Dave Day.
Yeah.
He would have been 71, so he would have been 78 this year.
Wow.
Rest his soul.
But again, another classic series, which was just phenomenal. You notice how all of the ones we picked there are British?
Well, we are probably slightly biased.
Yeah. Any honourable mentions?
In terms of longevity, you've got to look at Big Bang Theory and Friends, of course, and Frasier.
I was going to say Frasier.
You've got to look at
big fan of Friends.
And doing a bit of reading, a reunion episode apparently as well. CBS is paying on £4.5 million, £4, £5, £6 million each to do it.
Yeah, just for one our show. And I've agreed to it.
Well, good luck to him. I look forward to seeing it. It's been long enough for actually to have something decent happen in the meantime, sort of thing. I don't know about any others. I mean, you could mention Happy Days, I suppose.
Yeah.
Walker and Mindy.
Gavin and Stacey is another one, of course. Never really watched it, have you?
I'm not the biggest fan of the show, to be fair, no. But I will concede it's very popular.
Very, very popular. And obviously the Christmas special this year, sorry, this Christmas just gone, received the highest audience figures since the World Cup 2 years, 18 months previous. So it did show that it was a very, very popular.
It was a wise move to bring it back for a special, yes.
Yeah. And they've opened it up for another series. I don't know if they should really. It's like 10 years after the last one. You know, with, again, the theory of Let It Be. But yeah, I enjoy it anyway.
Let's switch gears a little bit, James. What have you got for me?
Now, we did a few episodes of Insular Gossip last year, of course.
We did.
Which was a fairly structured thing. And there was one thing which I was going to ask last year, but we never actually got around to. We're going to go with the Mount Rushmore format here.
Mags is going to ask for copyright infringement at this point. So.
I'm sure he will. So with your Mount Rushmore, you take your top four, is it?
Yeah.
Top four. Okay. Circuit. Formula One circuits not in current use.
That's a tough one, James.
And I only mention this because I got Gran Turismo Sport for Christmas, which I've been playing a lot of recently on the PlayStation. And I've been racing around the Nürburgring quite a lot.
So are you talking about circuits which have been used for Grand Prix that are no longer used for Grand Prix or not used at all?
Either.
Okay, cool. Right, okay, in no particular order, Imola.
Okay. Why do you think... I reckon a lot of these is purely down to funding, isn't it?
Most of it, yeah.
Yeah. But Imola, yeah, great track.
Phenomenal, and... they've actually flattened it now. It's now from, if you leave the bottom hairpin to the Tambo chicane is now flat. There's no chicane at the pit lane.
Oh, so it just goes straight.
As it always used to.
Okay.
Terrifying. It used to be flat from there right to Tosa.
Think of a DRS on that.
I don't want to go there. Might be.
The DRS at Zandvoort is going to be amazing because they're going to use DRS through that bank corner.
That's dangerous. I don't like that idea.
It's dangerous, but Formula One is dangerous,
and you've got to have that's too dangerous.
They've had to do it because the pit straight is too short.
Bear in mind how short the start finish straight is at Monaco, James.
Yeah, but let's be honest, right? When has DRS ever been used effectively at Monaco?
By me?
Just in general, I find it...
it's difficult to change first.
I just don't think they should be racing around there anymore.
It's a little bit overgrown. I'll concede that.
It's still there. Just as a showpiece.
And they don't pay a penny.
No. It's purely there as a showpiece. Yeah. And it.
We could talk about that more, but Monaco is a circuit. It's still used. Circuits that aren't used anymore. Got a lot of love for a little track called Adelaide.
Okay. Yeah. It was a great track, to be fair.
We drove it on the F195 game so many times.
Indeed, I thought it was a great track.
Another one, of course, as well, which was Aida in Japan, which was the Pacific Grand Prix. I drove that. I didn't race it two times, but I remember doing a half distance race on F195.
Yeah.
And I can see I was tired at the end of it, because that was the day before you could pause and save. So, yeah. Obviously, because we were talking like 97, 98 sort of time. That was exhausting. Not least because at one point I was 50, 60 seconds ahead, and then ended up 4 seconds clear because the computer cheated and had Johnny Herbert catch me up.
Get you on your toes, though, didn't it?
To be fair, Formula 199 actually cheated to have the cars catch you up by setting lap times that were impossible. And I remember by hitting a 57 second lap around Monaco.
That's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Right, so that's three. Okay, the fourth one, Brands Hatch.
Classic.
Brands Hatch. I was there when I was three and you were one, James. You were in the buggy. I still remember the smell of petrol in the air. Mm. Still smell it. My God, that was deadly.
Paddock Hill Bend. Is that one of the hardest corners on the British circuit?
To get right, yes.
As you know, I've been, say, playing Gran Turismo, and that's obviously Brands Hatch is on there. Yeah. And it's so hard. Such a hard corner to get right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Really? It's on Forza as well, so I've played my fair share on there.
You don't realise how early you have to brake.
You don't. The other scary thing as well is how much history is in that track itself.
Mm.
For example, when we were there that day, it was for Formula 3 race. When we were little, James.
Mm-hmm.
You know who won that day?
I haven't got a clue.
It was 1987, bearing in mind.
Seven. I'm going to probably say, obviously, a British driver.
Not necessarily.
No. Was it a British driver?
It was.
It was. In 1987, you're probably thinking someone like either Johnny Herbert.
Yep.
It was?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Johnny Herbert. British Formula 3 had great drivers like Barrichello and Ayrton Senna came through it as well, James. So
yes, they did.
We had some amazing drivers come through British Formula 3 who were not British. Mainly Brazilians, to be fair. So
it's a very prestigious
It was.
Championship.
It was. Fair. It's gone now, of course.
Yeah, they now use... do I still have a Formula 3?
Yeah, they're free. Yeah.
Just a European sort of one.
They're free F2, obviously, and, you know, F4 they have now as well. It's all it's all connected to the other formula that's much, much cheaper to do it that way around. So
do they do it as a sort of like a league ladder sort of thing?
No, they do the same thing like a championship.
Okay. Yeah, but in a sort of way, like if you do really well in F3, maybe a team may promote you to F2 sort of thing.
You can be. That's how Mick Schumacher went up the ladder, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's what I mean. You know, they use it as a... what do you call it? A scouting ground sort of thing.
It's the blooding ground for definite. It's definitely the breeding ground for F1. As proven by, if you look at some of the drivers who have come through the junior formulas, George Russell, Julian Palmer, that's not a bad example. Lando Norris, he's had drivers go back to it. Stoffel Van Dorn, obviously, has gone across now to Formula E. He came through there as well, obviously. You know, it's the who's who of F1 is going to be coming through there in the future. There is, however, a driver, I believe in F2, who has ended up getting so many penalties 1 year, he was banned twice in 1 year season.
Goodness me. Who's that?
I forget his name, but I remember seeing it. But I believe he has got a drive for next year as well, somehow, as well.
It sounds like the Pastor Maldonado of Formula 2.
Pretty much. It obviously speaking about Formula 2, is worth mentioning again. Antoine Hubert. Lost his life, of course. The FIA investigation came back this week, recording. Tragic accident. That's all it's been ruled as. No fault, just wrong place, wrong time.
Well, this is the risks that you take in run racing, you know. I haven't seen the crash myself, but
I have, and I think I lost a lot of cut in my face when I saw that, and I was like, that's bad.
Yeah.
And of course, then next race, an F3 car flips coming out of the Parabolica by hitting a sausage curb and landed on the catch fencing. If it hadn't been for the halo, he'd have died.
Yeah. Well, these are the improvements that luckily have been made.
Thanks for the halo. He's alive.
Well, without the halo, we wouldn't have Charles Leclerc.
Mm.
You know, and look what he did this year.
We proved that last year, didn't we? The halo has saved lives. And anyone who says, oh, it's ugly, do you even notice it now? Really? Do you really notice it now?
It doesn't matter what the cars look like. Because the way they integrate them into it, they can design them better.
Mm.
You know, aesthetically. But more important thing is they do their job. And that's the
They do indeed. Which is a great thing.
Mm.
So, yeah. Have you got your four?
Well, I was going to go with Brands Hatch as well.
Yes.
Brands Hatch and the Nürburgring. Also, maybe going to go with Fuji. Although, Weiner put one at the bottom of the mountain is beyond me. I still don't understand.
They haven't halfway up the mountain, to be fair.
Yeah, I really didn't understand that. And a fourth one. I didn't really have a fourth one, I'll be honest. But I did like Turkey.
Istanbul Park is a good circuit. It's a shame that Turkey's government withdrew the funding for it.
Yeah, I thought that was a decent circuit.
It's a great circuit. Great choice, James.
And I think there's a section of corners, I think it's 6, 7, 8 or something like that, where it is. Just these flowing lefts.
Turn 8 is amazing, yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant corner.
It's up there with 130R.
Mm. Reminds me, actually, when I was playing Gran Turismo, one of the challenges is going through 130R. And it tells you to lift off.
What?
Through 130R.
What?
I had to take all the brake assists off. It was only on a medium brake assist, but it kept on doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm not having this at all. So I take all the brake assists off, went through it clear, first time, and beat the target time by about 2 seconds. It was fantastic.
Exactly, perfect. I remember back in the day, before they had restricted you to using the DRS in just the DRS zone, you used to be able to use the DRS anywhere on the lap and practice and qualify. And they changed it so you couldn't do it because people were using DRS in places that were dangerous, like in the tunnel in Monaco, for example.
Oh, I see. Yeah, well, I can understand why you'd want DRS for the tunnel in Monaco.
And I
thought that should have been a DRS zone.
And DRS in through 130R.
Yeah, but again, you can understand why they would use it.
Having had the option of doing that on the video game, I have done that. What do you think the action was?
Heavy crash.
Backwards.
Oh, lovely. And for that
sadly,
reason,
no footage exists of it because it was on 360.
The reason I don't put DRS down that back straight after the spoon curve in Suzuka is because the braking point isn't sufficient enough through 130R.
That's accurate, to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah, because with you have to break to shut the DRS, and they won't have it going through 130R.
Fair enough.
So that's why there's no DRS zone there. Which I thought was a bit of a shame, but I totally understand.
Absolutely. Shall we finish off with one last little topic, James?
What would you like to talk about?
For number 22, what does that mean to you?
Number 22. Oleg Luzhny.
Excellent, excellent. That what it means to you. What do you think it means to me?
22. I don't know. 22 wins in a row.
22 points clear.
Oh, okay.
James is like rolling his eye a little bit, but I'm saying I haven't been jumping around. I haven't been shouting in anyone's face saying we're going to win the league, rah, 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 rah. I haven't done that because I know how Liverpool can be, and if anyone can balls this up, it's us.
Mm.
However, after 30 years, Liverpool stand on the edge of history. Because if we end up going the season unbeaten, we're going to not only take the championship, obviously, we will also take your record.
Indeed.
How do you feel about that?
Well, if you go unbeaten, you deserve it.
No, but how do you feel about losing that 49-game beat record? Because I know you are so proud of that.
It was going to happen at some point. Let's be honest.
I didn't think it ever would happen again.
I thought it would. But I didn't know when or who by or how. You know, it's an amazing, amazing feat what you've done. And the fact you've only got 2 points all season is absolutely phenomenal. I think as a Liverpool fan, you need to embrace this season.
Oh, absolutely.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I don't think it's not the going unbeaten. It's
the wins.
It's the fact of how many wins you've had. And a lot of that is due to the opposition. And I'm not putting it down on this, but this is a very, very poor Premier League season. If you look at the points that everybody else has got and how close it is to everybody else is, it's absolutely crazy.
I'm going to respectfully disagree with you, James.
Okay.
For two reasons. One, you can only play who's in front of you.
I totally agree.
Second point is, I don't agree it's been a poor Premier League season. The quality is the Man City's team is the same.
Yeah, but then their quality.
Other teams have caught up.
Yeah.
Look at teams like Sheffield United, for example.
But you expect these teams who should be running away, like the Man City's, for example, who should be challenging you, the Manchester United's, Chelsea's, the Arsenal's, the Tottenham's. Everton, maybe. No one is consistent at all. Apart from Liverpool. You have to embrace that. You have to take advantage of what's in front of you. And when everyone else is falling apart like that and you keep on winning, it's mental. And you're, when I say mentally, I mean mental, I mean up in the head.
Yeah.
It's the confidence that your team has got reminds me of Arsenal when they went invincible. You go into every game thinking you're going to win. No other team in the league is doing that at the moment.
We have a mentality of we know that we're going to keep a clean sheet. Can you stop us scoring?
And we will win. And
I mean, for example, Mane has been our best player this year, without a shadow of a doubt up front. He has had a season and a half.
Without him, your team would struggle, would be struggling more.
But then you look at the game we had against Southampton recently. We won 4-0. And Bobby Firmino had 3 assists to his name in that game. So he may not score as frequently as the others do nowadays, but my word, he's important.
Because you play as a team.
Yeah, and even our quote-unquote squad players, when they've come in, they've stepped up. So when then the quote-unquote first team players come back, they're fighting to get back in again.
I remember watching a game that Shaqiri played, and he started when he rested a couple of your front three, and they just came in. Yeah, it's fine. Man, they want the same mentality, the same attitude.
That's the manager.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's all what the manager's done. I mean, you haven't spent millions upon millions and millions and millions of pounds.
We have.
Well, yeah, but
our net spend hasn't, but we have spent a lot of money.
Yeah. But what you've done is you've paid money for these players who weren't, who are good players at the time you bought them. If you look at your front three, you probably paid under 100 million for all three of them.
We paid, I believe we paid 29 for Firmino. We paid 32 for Salah and Mane, respectively.
Well, there you go. That's under 100.
Yeah.
And the confidence that Klopp has given has turned them into the players that they are.
Because Firmino was there before Klopp arrived.
Mm.
And yeah. Rodgers wasn't playing him in his best position.
No.
And now he looks like a completely different player. Henderson, what a captain he is.
I think he's had a very good year this year.
I mean, people have been saying, oh, he's not. People say, he doesn't hold a candle to Pogba and all this. I'm like, with the greatest respect, fuck off. Pogba is probably not going to win anything this season. And Henderson is going to win one trophy minimum.
Yeah. Remember, Pogba's been injured for most of the season as well. So
But when you get people to say, oh, this player's better than that one, on paper, the Tottenham squad that finished third that year, when they should have won the league, really, were all better on paper than the Leicester team. But Leicester won the league.
Individual skill is one thing. Playing as a team is a different. Another. And if you win things, you need to play as a team.
See, we got all the people now who are whinging about Liverpool being so far clear. Everyone was saying, Liverpool fans are going to be unbearable when we win the league. People, you've seen that on Facebook, there's no doubt, on Twitter and things. I can speak for myself, obviously, but I can't speak for anybody else. I haven't seen a great amount of Liverpool fans off of Liverpool pages, that is, rubbing into people.
No.
Yet, anyway. Most of it has been your with respect, your Arsenals, your Tottenhams, your Man United, your Man Cities, your Chelseas, and your Everton's fans all complaining about Liverpool having bought the title. Now, to your credit, James, you don't have that attitude. To your credit, you don't have that attitude, which is great.
Okay.
But you do see it in other teams' fans, and you're like, here we go again, sort of thing.
You're going to get people like that.
Yeah, but thought, I mean, for example, there was a Man City fan who phoned up on last Monday at time of recording to BBC Radio 5 Live called Statman Gav, his name was. This has done the rounds on Facebook, Twitter, everywhere. He's a City fan, and he spent 8 minutes ranting about Liverpool being so far clear because of VAR. To which Robbie Savage, everyone's favourite pundit, shut him down like with one simple sentence. Said, Gav, you are 22 points behind and you're talking about VAR. Move on.
Yeah.
In short, Man City have not been good enough this season. They could blame Kompany moving on, but the fact of the matter is that they had players left who could do a job. But the fact is, they put Fernandinho back there to shore it up because Laporte been injured. But even when Otamendi and Stones were both fit, he didn't play them together. What does that tell you? You know, I could rant, James, a bit more about this, but I don't want to rant about Man City. So, is there anything football-wise you want to talk about, James, quickly?
Football-wise, did you see the Spanish Cup this week?
I heard about two shock results. Would you like to fill me in, though?
Yeah. Do you know who the final four is in the semi-finals?
Not off the top of my head.
Right, let me just find it. Both Barcelona and Real Madrid both lost in the quarterfinals this week.
Which is a rare occurrence, isn't it?
Because they don't play it over two legs anymore. They've changed it to a one-leg game. No replays, anything like that.
Which is what the next round of the FA Cup is going to be like.
So, your quarterfinal, your semi-finals have been drawn as Real Sociedad against Mirandes and Athletic Bilbao against Granada.
TV company.
Yep. So, Sociedad won at the Bernabeu 4-3.
Wow.
Yep. Mirandes beat Villarreal 4-2. What was that one there? That is Bilbao beat Barcelona 1-0 with a 93rd minute Busquets own goal.
Oh my word.
And the last one was Granada beat Valencia 2-1. Remember Roberto Soldado?
Tottenham fans have nightmares about him still.
Yeah. He scored a last minute win against Valencia.
Nice.
So yeah, crazy, crazy, crazy.
But that is what they say, though. Like, football is chaos.
Yeah, and that's cup football for you, isn't it?
You have this like hour and a half build up every day before the football starts, sort of thing. And it's the same for American football, to be fair. If you're in America, you have all this build up and everything, but end of the day, sport is chaos, because if it was predictable, what's the point of doing it?
Well, this is it. And it just shows the attitude that they go into it now. And I think the attitude with a lot of teams now, if you go back even just 5 or 10 years ago, people were scared before they went into games. You know, they thought, oh, we're going to get trumped here. We're going to lose 7-0 straight away, blah, blah, blah. If you look at, for example, Gary Neville's Valencia.
Yeah.
When they lost, was it 7 or 8-0 at Barcelona? 7. Yeah. So they probably went into that attitude thinking they were going to get beat straight away, even though Gary Neville won't admit it. They probably did. But if you look nowadays, you look at the so-called lesser teams.
Prime example, Old Trafford, for example, the prime example. Team go Man United thinking, like, we can get something here.
Burnley. 1-2-0.
2 years in a row, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you have to ask Mags on that one. I'm not sure.
Mags, the Burnley fan, he'll know. You know, he knows all sorts of crazy stats. Anyway, I'm going to ask you a question. One last question before we sign off, James. Would you be interested in joining me on the Mad Attack soon?
I can do.
I am doing a non-wrestling fans version of a Matt Attack, where I get some guests on who know nothing about wrestling, to an extent. You don't. To an extent, you don't nowadays.
The bits I know is from Twitter.
Exactly.
I dabble in them very, very occasionally.
Exactly. So I'm going to have Alex. I'm going to have, hopefully, you. And we're going to sit down. And I'm going to give you a wrestling pay for you to predict. It's going to be a case. It's going to be a good bit of cross promotion, just for better fun.
Yeah. Why not?
Excellent. Okay, so you heard it here first. The Matt Attack Army, James is in. Right. So, yeah. We'll finish off here. You can find the show at Willis Boys Talk. You can find James
at @_Davioni.
Good boy. You find me at The Matter UK. Find us on Twitter. Talk to us. Give us ideas for topics if you've got any ideas you want us to talk about. Or just give us some feedback if you like the show, don't like the show. If you think my grey hair is funny and David's lack of hair, that sort of thing, it's always a good thing. James is not giving me an evil right now, which I deserve that. I might edit it out, you never know.
Unbelievable.
I won't. Right, okay. So, yeah, on behalf of myself and James, thank you for the last year. We will be back soon.
We're out here.
This podcast is a Matt Attack production for the Visionaries Wrestling Network.